And let's go to Syria now. There are signs today that President Bashar al-Assad's army is actually escalating its onslaught against civilians. The city of Homs is being shelled mercilessly for the 20th day in a row. Activists say Syrian troops are using helicopter gunships to strafe mountain villages where anti-regime rebels could be hiding. And we're also getting reports of Syrian forces staging door-to-door raids in Damascus. Syria has been closed off to international journalists for almost a year now. President Bashar al-Assad is determined to silence reporters who are telling the world about the relentless killing of civilians. And that makes this uprising one of the most dangerous stories for journalists to cover. Four deaths alone in this past week. First, Pulitzer Prize-winning New York Times reporter Anthony Shadid died of an asthma attack. And then on Tuesday, three more journalists died. A local videographer, Rami Al-Sayed, was killed while covering a bombardment. And then American reporter Marie Colvin and French photojournalist Remy Oshlik were killed yesterday when their makeshift media center came under fire. Here's Syrian activist Omar Shakir. He heard the attack, and he's speaking over Skype.
Another rocket fell down. And then I hear somebody screaming and shouting, come here, come here. He's saying, I can't. Then I heard another rocket. And then I heard screaming, someone shouting. And I think it was Marie. Then after 15 minutes, my friend told me Marie and Remy, they has been killed.
The Committee to Protect Journalists has criticized the Syrian government for trying to block foreign and independent journalists from reporting on the country's uprising. And the deputy director of the Committee to Protect Journalists joins us now. Robert Mahoney, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
You know, this has been a particularly dangerous couple years for journalists. Can you kind of tell us about what are some of the things that have happened in the past few years for reporters?
Yeah, we've seen a rise in the number of reporters who are killed covering conflict. Essentially, since the beginning of the Arab uprisings in the beginning of last year, there were at least five journalists who were killed covering the conflict in Libya. And then this incredible increase in the number of journalists killed covering Syria. There's been seven killed since November in Syria, most of them in Homs, where the latest casualties took place. And just to put that in perspective, the Committee to Protect Journalists began documenting journalist deaths in 1992, and it had no deaths in Syria before this latest batch. So it just puts all that in some kind of context. It's really become extremely dangerous in the Middle East for journalists.
Is this simply just a dangerous place? I mean, you just heard me describing how the barrage going on in Homs and other places in Syria, or do we have evidence that they could be targeting journalists?
Well, it is an extremely dangerous place. When an army that is as brutal as the Syrian army can be besieges a town and fires artillery and mortar and rockets into areas where there are really no insurgents, and this was the basis of the last report that Marie Colvin filed. She said that the army was just targeting civilians, women and children, and she filed some pretty horrific and graphic reports of the civilian toll of that pounding that the city's been taking. But there are reports too that the makeshift press center, just a house really, in which the journalists were working because it had a satellite uplink, may have been targeted. We don't have hard evidence of this yet, but it's certain that the Syrians knew that there were journalists in there because the journalists were filing, and it's likely that they knew the house. But we haven't got solid evidence yet that they actually targeted it. If they did so, then that is really a war crime, because journalists are civilians and are protected under the statutes of war, such as the Geneva Conventions and UN resolution.
That'd be very difficult to prove, though. We're speaking with Robert Mahoney, Deputy Director of the Committee to Protect Journalists. You know, and Robert, a lot of people are asking, why would these journalists have gone in there if they knew there was a chance that they might die? Is Syria simply too dangerous? Is it not worth the risks you have to take to get the story?
Well, exactly that question, Celeste, is the one that Marie, who I used to work with many years ago, used to pose all the time, and she answered it very definitively from her point of view that it was worth it. She was a very courageous, very brave woman and a very good journalist, and she was so appalled by the suffering that she saw, particularly the suffering of the innocent, of the civilians, that she wanted someone to be there to bear witness. And she laid her life on the line in many instances, in many theaters of war, not just here. As you know, she lost an eye when she was covering the conflict in Sri Lanka back in 2001. Many journalists I know would have taken that as a sign of that they should maybe give up
Stay home, not go
to the front lines again. But she didn't. She went back after, you know, battling with the loss of an eye and post-traumatic stress disorder. She still went back because she believed that someone has to be there to tell the story.
You know, I wonder what the response has been since, obviously, there have been a number of journalists killed and wounded since the Arab Spring began. But Marie Colvin and Anthony Shadid were very high profile. They were extremely accomplished. And I wonder if the conversation has changed since their deaths, if perhaps it's bringing more attention to the situation in Homs.
Certainly. I mean, there are reports of hundreds of civilians have been killed in Homs in this latest round of shelling. But when you get a high-profile journalist such as Marie, yes, it's bound to bring more attention. I mean, her reports were probably one of the few sources in English of reports of what was going on, and they were very compelling. We saw some of the TV images, and her last dispatch for the Sunday Times, which came out just on Sunday, where she went into what she called the widow's basement, where people were sheltering from all these rockets falling down on their heads. It was really moving.
So let me just ask you, at this point, Robert, is Syria too dangerous?
Listen, that's a choice that individual journalists have to make for themselves. There are editors and news organizations that make that decision and say, yes, it is too dangerous, and they don't let their people go in. But there are other journalists like Marie Colvin and those who are in there now who know it's dangerous and they know they're taking a risk, but they're compelled to go because they want to tell the story. It's kind of in the DNA of reporters to want to go to the front line and to want to bear witness.
It is in the DNA, although sometimes it comes at a heavy, heavy cost. Robert Mahoney is Deputy Director of the Committee to Protect Journalists. Robert, thank you so much.
You're more than welcome.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.